Our God is victorious. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. We've heard from the Worrell family. They're doing well in South Mississippi. And we've heard from the Frank family. He is preaching in Massachusetts today. And so be praying for them as they're down there. And so thankful for all that the Lord is doing. Luke chapter number 15. If you're willing and able to, and you found it, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 15. We're going to start in verse number 11 and read down through verse number 24. Luke 15, verse number 11 says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." Isn't that a wonderful ending to a sad account in the Scriptures? There are several things that can be preached, have been preached, and will be preached out of these few verses of Scripture. But I want us to come back where he said in verse number 18. Now this is, as we call him, the prodigal son, the one that has departed from the father's house. And he says in verse number 18, he says, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, you've done me wrong. You mean that's not what's in the Scriptures? Father, they treated me horribly. That's not in there either, is it? Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I think it's wonderful, three verses later in verse number 21, when he saw his father, that's exactly what he said. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I want to preach for a little while this morning on the subject matter on realizing that I'm responsible. Realizing that I'm responsible. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Scriptures. Lord, I'm thankful for this example that you've recorded for us. Lord, that as we run away from the Father's house, I'm thankful spiritually that we have a Heavenly Father that is still there and He's looking and waiting for us to come home. But Lord, the realization that we are responsible Lord, I pray you'd help us today. Lord, you would not have put this message upon my heart for this hour if there was not someone under the sound of my voice this morning that needs to take responsibility and turn back to you. Now do that work that only you can do, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Realizing I am responsible, you know as well as I do. In fact, it's very prevalent today, and it reduces the amount of time that I need to take and give the examples of it today. But you know, across our nation, it's very hard for to see anybody stand up and say, hey, this was my fault. I'm the cause of this. I'm the reason behind all of this. The buck stops right here. No one else did this except for me. I'm responsible. It doesn't matter if it's government, doesn't matter if it's church, doesn't matter if it's family, doesn't matter if it's a boss. Every one of us, it is built into us and many times cultivated throughout our lives to be very good at what some have labeled being an umbrella Christian. That as it's coming down directly upon us, we can put our spiritual umbrella up and it just sheds off to everybody that's around us. Some people are as good as Teflon and nothing sticks to them. We see it constantly. Whether it be in this message today, I want to say right at the beginning, this is not pointed at the young people and the teenagers in our church. Because many of us would be saying, yes, I've talked to them teenagers and boy, nothing's ever their fault. And the first thing that they do is, well, you don't understand where I come from. You don't understand my parents. And if my parents would have just bought me more things, then I wouldn't be in the position that I'm in today. How many can testify that it's not the buying of things that's going to help turn someone out right? Well, we start turning it back on them and, well, it's not my fault. Well, listen, I've just been in one of those bad churches all those years and that's what made me the way that I am. Hey, listen, you know, you're not going to hear me excuse one moment today that there's bad parents out there. You're looking at one of them didn't do everything perfect. You know, you're not going to hear me say that there's not bad churches out there or leaders in church. You try to start to talk to someone about maybe the spiritual condition that their child is in. And the first thing that takes place is a deflection. Instead of saying, you know something, the buck stops right here as the head of the household. We're excellent at that. Every one of us. It started all the way back and we heard Brother Frank make mention of it all the way back at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As God came to Adam and said, where art thou, Adam? And confronted him about his sin. What did Adam say? Well, it's that wife you gave to me. How many here we've been guilty about blaming it on our wives? Don't put your hands up. They're watching. But then God goes to Eve and says, well, what happened? And she says, well, it was the serpent. And the serpent beguiled man. God goes to the serpent and listen, judgment falls upon all three of them. You know why? Because each and every one of them had responsibility in the matter. How many of us have told our children at some points that when someone has a bad attitude or a bad action, that we are responsible for our own actions? Someone can treat us wrong, but our reaction to that is our choice and we're responsible for that. You know, unfortunately, many times, and you see this in many different areas, we had five of us children in the house and as far as me and my three sisters and one brother. And haven't you found out that it's always the second person that gets in the most trouble as far as when there's a fight taking place? They never see the first one that instigated it, but it's always the one that responds to it that they always see. And the first thing we do is, well, they did. We're still responsible for our actions. And I see something that takes place here. And I want to share a few thoughts with us just on this subject matter of realizing I'm responsible. And maybe God would help us. Listen, if there's things that are in your life today, you name it. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be anger. It could be a rebellious child. It could be, hey, listen, we accept the responsibility that is ours. Beyond that, they accept their responsibility. But too many times, and yes, we do see it in young adults. We see it carried over from teenagers. Well, this person did this at 5 years old. This person did this at 12 years old. This person did this when I was a teenager. And that just wasn't right. And that church wasn't right. And this happened here. And therefore, I'm the way I am today. And I don't have to accept any responsibility because it's everybody else's fault. I saw some things and I just want to share some truths with us from this account of the prodigal son. I was talking to Brother Eric this morning. He said, which prodigal son are you going to deal with? Because both of them had issues. And they did. I said, that's for another message. Sometimes we just sit real quiet and think we're doing everything right. And in our hearts, we're rebellious against the Father. Well, I've been here and we're so full of pride. I've never walked out on the Lord. I've done everything right. I've done. Conditions of the heart. I want to show you five things that the Lord helped me with as I came down through here on personal responsibility. First of all, I'm responsible for my relationship inside the home. My relationship inside the home. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and the younger of them, these are of the two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You understand that at that point, it was not just the prodigal that took off and spent everything, but it was also the one that stayed at home. The Bible says he divided unto them his living. And that was settled at that moment there. The son that stayed at home had just as much right to his inheritance, and it was given to him as much as the prodigal that took off and spent all of that. But may I say that there was something in this prodigal's life that he no longer desired to be under the authority and the rule and the regulations of his earthly father. And I noticed down through here, I said, listen, I'm responsible for my relationships in the home. Can I say this? If I have a problem with my wife today, as much as I'd like to say and as much as I do in my heart and life, there's times we say, yes, but if they would just do this. You know, the number one person I have to come back to, and I need to look in the mirror and say, but what can I do? Where am I wrong? How many ever grew up singing that song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. And a lot of times we have a problem with that. We are very good at pointing out, we get inside the family of saying, listen, this is their problem on why there's not unity in this home. Well, may I say, first of all, if we're the father, the husband of that home, the Bible teaches that we are the spiritual leader in that home. Do you understand that it was Joshua, the head of that family, that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if your wife is not growing spiritually, if your children are not growing spiritually, the first person I need to look at is the person I look at in the mirror every day. Why not sit them down and be able to teach them, to be able to gather them around and be able to say, here's what we need to do. A daily dose of the Word of God. I'm responsible for the relationships in our family, in my family. If my relationship's not right with my wife, I need to do everything I can do according to the Word of God to make sure I'm right. If my wife is miserable in our marriage, listen, I ought to be looking in the mirror and say, am I the cause of it? and what's going on. You say, Pastor, I don't like that personal responsibility. Oh, it's all someone else's fault. And we get so frustrated with the world doing this, but on a Christian level, we do it every day. Realizing I'm responsible for the relationships in my home. But then I notice this, the Bible says in verse number 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. You ever wonder what his dad was doing as he sees his boy packing up? And just knowing he's not making the right decisions. I wonder how many times the father went to him and said, boy, don't do that. And not many days after, gathered all together, and look at this, and took his journey into a far country. I wrote down beside verse number 13, I'm not just responsible for the relationships in my home, but guess what? I'm responsible for the road that I'm traveling. You say, I don't like the road that I'm on. Then get on a different road. We say it in RU something like this. You're free to choose the road, but you're not free to choose where that road ends up. That destination at the end of the road, and there's some, you may be seated here today under the sound of my voice, and you're saying, man, this road that I'm on is miserable. Guess who you have to blame for that? You. Well, no, you don't understand what my dad said to me. You don't understand what my mom said to me. You don't understand what those people at work said. You don't understand what I've been going through. Hey, listen, you and I are responsible for the road that we're traveling. And you say, well, I don't like where this road's heading and taking me. Then get off the road. Aren't you thankful? Listen to me. And you've heard it over and over. Aren't you thankful that God allows U-turns? How many ever missed your exit going down the road? How many ever missed a turn while you were going? You weren't paying attention. It was just easier to keep on driving. When Ruth was driving back last Saturday, she got out at a rest area and stopped for a few minutes down in Connecticut. And when she got out, something fell out of the car or out of her pocket or something, and she didn't realize it till she got 15, 20 minutes down the road. She pulled off to the side and she called us, and we're trying to track down where she was, and she's trying to get him on the phone, and she said, I got a hold of him. She said, I'm turning around. I said, how long till you get back there? She said, it's about 35 minutes. She was going down the right road. Something happened. She had to turn around. Went all the way back there. Do you realize that cost her over an hour of time if she went all the way back there to be looking? And you say, well, I hate the delay, and so I'm just going to keep going. Brother Eric said this morning in Sunday school, it doesn't matter how fast you're going if you're headed the wrong direction. You say, I've got the world, my dad always said, got the world by the tail on a downhill swing, and everything's easy. You're just got momentum and you're going. Doesn't matter if you go in the wrong direction. And you say, well, I'm going to blame everybody else because of the road that I'm on. Well, it's time you took a hard look in the mirror of the Word of God, and then you started saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You say, well, the choices I've made, then get off that road. Sometimes you want to look at people. Listen, we talk to them all the time. I had a man one time, he sat here and he's like, that road's just not worth it anymore to me. And I said, well, it was worth it 2 days ago when you kept going down that road. Until you get to the point of saying, listen, I'm just tired of the direction that I'm going. He took his journey into a far country. Do you understand when he showed up there and got to his destination? Boy, it was the pleasures of sin for a season. Man, he was having a time. And you know what? And listen, we'll just have to get there and maybe ask him if this is what he thought. I wonder if for the first few days he said, you mean this is everything my dad was trying to keep me from? I wonder if he asked him that twice, asked himself twice. First of all, when he's partying it up on the road that he's on, saying, hey, this is wonderful. My dad tried to keep me from all this fun, all this time. But I wonder while he's wallowing around in the pig pen, I wonder if he asked himself again, is this what my dad was trying to keep me from? Hey, I'm responsible for the relationships in my home. I'm responsible for the road that I'm on right now. And some of you have family members. Some of you have spiritual leaders and guiders that are in your life. And they're saying, you better get off that road because we know where it's heading. And you're saying, I'm fine. I'm fine. You just don't want me to have all the fun that you had. No, we don't want you to have all the heartache. You're responsible for the road that you're on. And go ahead and blame it on everybody else. And when it comes to the end of the day, you're going to have to say, I've sinned. I'm responsible for the road that I'm traveling. May I say this? I'm responsible for the riches in my possession too. Do you realize all of that was provided to that son? And the Bible says he went and spent that on riotous living. How many of you here have ever regretted a purchase later? You regretted it. You know what you found out at that moment? You're responsible for that decision. I remember when it hit home for my wife and I. We were newly married. We were on deputation. We were out in Pennsylvania. And boy, the appeal. The appeal. You can have this mattress tonight. And you don't have to pay anything for 18 months. Boy, we're like, man, we didn't have any money anyway, nothing to pay. And they're saying, you don't have to pay anything. I'm like, hey, wonderful. You know, Proverbs says you get over there. I've never heard someone walk away from a deal and say, man, they took me for everything I was worth. You know what Proverbs says? It is not, saith the buyer as he goeth his way. They delivered it to our house the next day. We're so happy we got a brand new. Hey, we weren't living on someone else's mattress in Box Spring now. Brand new mattress, brand new Box Spring. They carry that mattress. They delivered it and everything. Delivered it up them stairs in that old farmhouse. They go to bring that Box Spring up there. You ever tried to get a king-sized Box Spring up an old farmhouse stairs that turns halfway up there? It wasn't happening. They bring it back downstairs and say, we can't get it up there, but here's what we can do. We have split Box Springs and it's only another $100. And they're two Box Springs instead of one and we can get them up around the corner. We're like, that must be the answer. Hey, take that Box Spring back, bring me the two tomorrow and we've got a brand new bed. Crystal and I were laying there that night. They hadn't brought the split Box Springs yet. We weren't sleeping on the new mattress. We started thinking about the next 18 months. We said, we shouldn't have done that. Possessions that we had, our riches, we're responsible for that. We called them up the next morning and said, don't bring the Box Springs. In fact, come pick up the mattress. We're not going to do this. I'm not going into debt for a mattress for the next 18 months. I won't get into all of that, but I'll say this. We're responsible for the riches. Don't you think he wished he would have had some transport money to be able to get back home after riotous living? Now, I know this. I know God provides. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God gives us the riches to be able to live from day to day, to be able to be faithful and wise stewards of what God's entrusted us to. But guess what? It's not the salesman's fault. Now, they're smooth. They're wonderful. We have one in our church. He's honest. Okay, I'm saying you're honest over there, Brother Chris. He's a car salesman. I've run into some that aren't as honest. and we walk away and say, man, he swindled me in that deal. Why don't you go look in the mirror? We're responsible for that. The riches. This man spent everything. Verse 14 says, well, the end of verse 13 says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, he didn't know that next phrase was coming. There arose a mighty famine. Don't you think he was wishing? Well, I wish I had some of that set aside for this taking place right here. Instead of just wasting everything that I've been given, gone. We're responsible for the riches. But then let's get down to here to the spiritual truths of this. We look at decisions in our lives, whether it's with relationships, whether it's with the road that we're on, whether it's with the riches that we have, and we all have regrets on things like this. But here's where it gets help. We're responsible for the repentance of the heart. We're responsible for the condition of my heart, for repentance, for him to say in verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He didn't say his daddy had sinned. He didn't say he didn't like living with his brother. He didn't say that he didn't have enough room in his bedroom. He didn't say that the whole world was against him. When he came to himself, he said, I've sinned. I've gone down the wrong road. I've wasted my living. I have made wrong decisions. It's my fault. The relationship is not right. Listen, he was even to the point of saying, there's probably nothing that can be done about that relationship. Just call me a servant. I'm not even worthy. The way that I've treated that relationship, I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just call me a servant. Can I say this? I believe we see an example of true, godly, and biblical repentance taking place. Now, I want you to see that it's twofold here. He came to himself and said that. How many of you ever made decisions in your heart and your mind, but you never carried them out in action? And we say, hey, this is my fault. This is where I'm heading. This is what I'm doing. This is my fault. I own this. And then come to the end of it and say, I've sinned against the Father. I need to go back and tell him that I've sinned. But you know something? It's one thing to take it from the heart and the mind and put it to our feet and actually go do it. You see, I'm responsible for the repentance in my life to get things right with God. It's not someone else's. We can have preachers come in. Listen, there were decisions that were made. We had a week-long revival meeting with Brother Dwight Smith back in July, beginning into August. He was here all week long. Decisions were made. We had a week of camp after that. Decisions were made. We had preaching throughout the week, a week of revival meeting with Brother Gravely in November, and decisions were made. May I say this? It's not Brother Gravely's fault that he's still not here preaching for you to keep things right. It's our fault. The repentance falls squarely upon our shoulders. And bearing that responsibility, if we're going down the road, don't just acknowledge, I'm on the wrong road. Well, I need some help turning around. Listen, there's people all around you today that will help you turn around on the road that you're walking on. There's people that won't just throw up a warning sign and say, hey, you're heading down the wrong path. There's those that'll say, listen, I'll help you turn. I'll help you get on the right path. With the repentance of the heart, I'm responsible for that. But then let me say this, and finally, the return to the Father, I'm responsible for. You know something? He could have sat there in that pig pen day after day after day. How many have ever sat down with someone and they acknowledge they're just in a rough place? They acknowledge, well, I'm telling you, things aren't good. The decisions I've made, the road that I've gone down, and they spell the whole thing out. You don't have to say a word to them. They just acknowledge the condition that they're in. But here's the question. I believe something in their heart is saying, I want to do what's right. I want a different life. Then what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Well, I know I'm going down the wrong road and these relationships are wrong. It could be between husband and wife and the relationship's not right. And you can sit there all day and say, hey, these are the things wrong between husband and wife. Between in my family, here's everything that's wrong. Great, you've identified it. What are we going to do about it? You see, the returning to the Father, he had to get up from where he was at and start walking back the road to be able to find the Father. Aren't you glad for the Father that was looking for the Son? Well, I'm thankful. Hey, listen, there's a couple proofs here that the Father was fully expecting the Son to come. First of all, he saw him, which means he was looking. He was looking. You don't see something if you're not looking for it. He ran to him. Now listen, the statement that's made here is a very normal statement in Old Testament times with what the Son did to the Father. The Bible says that he ran to him and fell upon his neck. But what happened next was totally different. It wasn't that the foot was upon his neck to show that he was a servant and under his authority, but he fell upon his neck and kissed it. Or the compassion of the Father. Listen, he was looking for him to come back, but then the Bible says, bring the fatted calf. That calf didn't get fat in the last 5 minutes while he was waiting for the Son to get back. And I can only think that the day that that Son took off and that man went back to his prayer closet. I don't know, I'm just thinking about 2021. There may be some here. You know your relationships aren't right. You know there's some things and you've got some prodigals that are out there in the world. Can I say this? The Father was still faithful in the house while the Son was gone. But I wonder if that day that he left, he looked at one of the servants, he said, take one of them calves and just go put them in the small pen and just feed them grain. Because we're going to have a fatted calf. And someday that boy is going to come walking up that road. And the Father was prepared for the celebration. Do you realize that celebration would never have happened? The Father was prepared. The Father was ready. He knew which one was the best robe. He knew which one was the best ring and to put shoes on his feet. He had all of that prepared. Kill, slay the fatted calf. But if the Son had not taken responsibility for where he was at and started walking back that road to be able to get back to the Father's house. I wonder what it is today in each and every one of our lives. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, my life's perfect. I don't have anything to take responsibility for. Then come and tell me afterwards how to do that. What about looking in the mirror of the Word of God? And instead of the spiritual condition that we're in being blamed on everybody else, well, you know, it'd just be easier to live for the Lord if we didn't have this society that we're in right now. Can I say this? It's been a whole lot worse, according to the Word of God, than what we're facing right now. Well, it'd just be easier if we had liberty. We've got liberty to show up to church. We do. That hasn't been taken away from us. We've got the right to peacefully assemble, to protest. We'll protest sin every Sunday if we have to. We've still got that right to do it. But some blame it on everything else on why we don't. Hey, listen. The spiritual condition, something that we may have in our lives, it is not anybody else's fault to lay the blame at today, except for looking in the mirror and saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. And realizing that I need to take responsibility. Hey, I'm just as good as everybody else. When someone says something's wrong, be able to deflect it to someone else. But what about saying, hey, you're right, Lord. You're right. It's my fault. and I'm responsible for these things. Hey, listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? It's not religion's fault. Jesus loves you so much. Jesus died on the cross, shed every drop of His blood, paid for every sin that you would ever commit. It's not my fault that you haven't trusted Christ. If you've heard the message, that decision lies at your feet. And you may be here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Listen, it's time to take responsibility and say, that's my decision. I'm going to follow the Lord. You may be away from God right now, not living for Him, and you know the heart's condition. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in church on a Sunday morning. You know the condition of your heart. You know that it's away from God. Well, can I say this? I know no one around you is perfect. I'll be the first one to tell you I'm not. But if you're not walking with God, it's not my fault today. And guess what? You might not even be able to blame it on your parents. It's your fault. You can't blame it on your wife if your relationship's not right with God. You can't blame it on your husband if it's not. Take responsibility for where we're at spiritually today and say, I'm going to live for God. Husbands, fathers, why don't we take responsibility for our homes? Wives, why don't we take responsibility? Maybe God would have us be able to teach and train our kids. I thought about that last week. Can I jump back to last week real quick and I'll be done? I preached a message last week on using what God's given to us. And there was one other thing I wish I would have said last week, and God's saying I can say it right now. You may not have been given anything else except for your kids that you're around home with them day after day after day. And they become more of a frustration to you than they are your opportunity to be able to teach them the ways of the Lord. I say this, if you're there with them every day, boy, pour the Word of God into them. Pour the Scriptures into them. Pour the things into them. It's not the world's responsibility to train and raise our kids. And if they turn out wrong, I can try to blame it on the world, but you know who it comes back to? Right here. And you know as well as I do, there's just sometimes we train and train and train. They get to the age, they're going to make their choice. And then you know where it lays right there? It lays right at their feet. I'm saying, realize we have to take responsibility. If you're here today and you're not saved, you never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's your choice. Jesus died for you. If you're here today, there's anything in your hearts and lives that's not right, don't brush that off on someone else. Take responsibility before the Lord and say, God, I'm making this right. That bitterness that's in my heart, God, I'm getting rid of it. I'm taking responsibility. It may not be gone today, but I'm taking responsibility to get rid of it. That sin that's in my life, hey, it's not my parents' fault. I'm taking responsibility for that and getting it out of my life. I'm glad we have a Father that has His arms wide open to us. Just quit running from Him. Just quit running. Jonah tried that, didn't work out. Prodigal son tried that, didn't work out. Famine. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Amen. God's so faithful.